David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul that all is lost, save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see no way? Every promise he's ever made me, I love him, that's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see no way? He makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see no way? He makes a way. Ever made me, I love him, that's all I want to say. I love him, that's all I want to
Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to John chapter 20. Have any of you ever watched a chalk artist in church? I'm not talking about ones that draw on graffiti on a wall or out on the sidewalk, but actually they draw on canvas there. They have lighting and so forth. I've seen those before, and I'd love to have one in here sometime if I can find the right one. But just to have them to share, and as you're watching, you get a little bit of an idea of what they're drawing, but not until the end of their drawing, when they start to turn on the different lights that are shining on there, does it pick up the fluorescent paint there, or the black light that picks up the end story that is seen, and get the whole picture. Well, in a similar way, John, the apostle here, as he writes in the book of John, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, recorded seven chosen miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of these miracles have their own message, they have their own meaning to us, but together, at the end, they all bring in a particular picture of God's love and God's grace. I would like to start a series of messages dealing with these seven miracles of Jesus, and it comes from a series done by Dr. Adrian Rogers on this subject. And I've entitled it, Believe in Miracles, but Trust in God. That's this book that he has written about these. And I believe it'll be very pertinent to us as we look at it together there. My question is to you this morning, why did John pick these seven miracles? And the answer, I think, is found right here in chapter 20, and beginning there in verse 30, the last two verses. It says, and many other signs, the word means miracles there, as we'll see, many other miracles truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, which are not written in the book of John. But these are written, he's going to tell us why. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Two main reasons that he gives there about why he chose these seven miracles and recorded them here in the book of John. Of course, we know the answer is the Holy Spirit of God guided them to do that. But it is spoken here that he gives that we'll know who, we'll know who Jesus was. He was the Messiah, the Son of God, God the Son, deity. And in believing in him, we would have life, eternal life, through his name. So it's believing who he is and believing really what he did as he died there on Calvary to be able to forgive our sins and to extend to us eternal life. And so both of these come into play as we see why John chose these seven miracles to present here. The word signs, as I said there in verse 30, means miracles. It actually is the Greek word that means a miracle with a meaning or a message that is given there. And it's a special lesson for each one of us. So in this series, we're going to see a couple of things. One, we're going to see that we should believe in miracles, but we ought to trust in Jesus. And secondly, we ought to see that these miracles of grace are greater than miracles of glory. As the song says, it took a miracle to put the stars in space. That's a miracle of glory. It took a miracle to hang the world in place. That's a miracle of glory. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. And that's what we want to see portrayed here in the picture of these seven miracles as John records them there. And each one has their own message, but they all at the end portray this picture about the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has provided eternal life for every one of us. I'm one of those miracles of love and grace, are you? I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. In this message, I want us to see two things in this introduction-type message, these seven miracles there. The first thing is the possibility of miracles, and then two, the problem with miracles. Father, I ask that right now through your Holy Spirit that you allow me to be able to share very clearly your word that you have put in my mind and the message we have today. Lord, we thank you that you have given us in the book of John here much information about the Lord Jesus and specific information that reveals who he is and what he has done and what that means to us. I pray that you would help us as individuals that are here today, that we would listen very carefully and intently, that we would let nothing distract us, no one distract us from the truth of your word, that we would not divide our attention by listening to this message and doing something else at the same time, but that we would give you our undivided attention, 100% of us this morning, that we may hear your word and respond to it correctly. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First of all, the possibility of miracles. Do you believe in miracles? I do, because I believe in God. That's another song. I believe in miracles, for I believe in God. And that's so true, why we should. I read of a story by Dr. Lee, told about Dr. Lee Scarborough. He was the early president of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and I understand that he was a very good preacher. But he said that he was preaching about Jonah being swallowed by the great fish there. And a little bit later, when he got home, his little son asked him, he said, "Daddy, do you really believe that a fish could swallow a man and keep him, the man in his belly alive for 3 days and three nights?" And his wise father replied, "Son, if God could make a man out of absolutely nothing to begin with, and if God could create the first sea creatures from absolutely nothing, don't you think he would have the power to make a fish that could swallow a man and keep him alive in his belly for 3 days and three nights if he wanted to?" And the little fellow replied, and he said, "Well, if you're going to bring God into it, that's different." Amen to that. If you're going to bring God in, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. And God is in it. I want to remind you of what the angel said to Abraham when God had told him that he was going to have a child in his late old age there. The angel reminded him in Genesis 18:14, it says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And obviously the answer is no. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing is impossible with Him. Miracles are possible because God is there and God is all powerful. Miracles also are supernatural. The word supernatural means above nature. God is sovereign in His power above nature. For let me illustrate. The law of gravity. Everybody understand the law of gravity? Okay. The law of gravity is overruled by the law of magnetism. For instance, when a magnet picks up a paperclip, the superior law of magnetism overrules the law of gravity. In like fashion, the superior law of God's sovereignty overrules all of nature. God created nature, and the laws of nature are under God's control or God's power. Matter of fact, in actuality, there are no laws of nature. They are laws of God. As since God created all things, the Scripture tells us that He also maintains all things. There in Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17, all things were created by Him and for Him. And in the context, that's speaking about God the Son, the Lord Jesus. He is the one that created all things by the word of His mouth there. And it says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." The word means they are held together. Also in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person," again speaking of God the Son, the Lord Jesus there, "and upholding all things by the word of His power." Upholding all things. Everything that God has ever created is held together by God's Word. And so we have then things that science calls constants in our world. And these constant things like gravity or the magnetism or other things of that nature are called laws because they're constant. It can be measured. And all of these constant things are constant because God makes them to stay constant. If that makes any sense to understand, I hope you do. And so it is God that holds them there, and God supersedes all nature there. And so when God does a work that goes against what naturally may be seen in nature, it is supernatural. It is God's miracle that is there that we can celebrate and we can understand. Great miracles have happened in the Bible, and great miracles still happen today. That makes some believers a little bit nervous because they understand and they have seen the manipulations and the frauds of modern-day so-called faith healers or divine healers that have drawn attention into themselves as a great person that can do all of these things. And primarily, if you send them your... You know what that is, don't you? No, it's not the smallest record player. It's the money, and that's pretty much what it's all about. It's all about... If it wasn't about money, they'd show up at every hospital and they would heal everybody in the hospital. But it ain't... That's where the money is, you see.
unless you work for the hospital. But they have these individual agendas there that is trying to bring attention to themselves, not to God. It's trying to bring money to themselves. And it's there that these manipulations have taken place and these frauds have taken place. And so there are some Christians that have been so scared of the wildfire of taking off and following that, that they have drawn back to the extreme that they're satisfied with no fire whatsoever. And that's not the answer. There is a balance with God that we need to recognize. And while we may not be able to condone the things that we see in that agenda, we don't draw back and say, I don't believe that miracles take place today. There are miracles that God does today. We just need to be careful, and I'll give you some pointers, some guidelines at the end to be able to recognize if they are genuinely from the Lord. There's a couple examples that I'd like to give you. One is about a young lady named Marilyn. At the time, she was a young teenager that she began to lose her eyesight. A doctor diagnosed her with irreversible problem called macular degeneration. He predicted that it would continue to progress until she would become legally blind, and that happened at age 19. She went to a school for the blind and learned how to tap with a cane to get around to walk. She learned how to read with Braille. She went off to Bible college, and she used a tape recorder in her classes to be able to not only hear, but to then go over and study and so forth. At Bible college, she met a young man named A.C. Ford and fell in love and married him. He became a young pastor. They had a child. And they always prayed, though, that God would restore her eyesight. One night, while they were discussing her blindness, and some of the things they discussed was things like, you don't even know what I look like. She had never seen her husband's face. She had never seen her child's face. The people in their church, she had never seen them. She knew how to identify them by their voice only there. All of those things and some of the hindrances is there. He was just crying out unto the Lord that God would restore her sight. And late that night, just before they went to bed, she screamed out, A.C., I can see. And God had restored her sight. And he kept asking, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? She ran to the bathroom to look at her face that she had not seen in 12 years. She couldn't believe. From 19 to 31, what she looked like in the mirror, to see her husband's face, to see her child's face. They began to make phone calls in the middle of the night to parents and to friends. The next day, they called the doctor, and she went to see the same doctor that diagnosed her with the macular degeneration. And she read the eye charts, and he said, well, there's no question that you can see. So he began to look into her eyes there and examine. And when he did, it says he gave a gasp, and he said, I don't understand it. There's really no change. A portion of your eyes are like a mirror that has had the quicksilver scraped off. He said that it is a bigger miracle than he would have even believed. It is impossible for you to see, and yet you see. That's a miracle. It's a miracle that happens in our day. In my life, I look back to something that not nearly that great of a miracle, but I count it as a miracle of God because of His answer of prayer right at the right moment. We as a youth group had done many things in our youth group, and one of the things that was planned was a neighborhood blitz. It was called a blitz because we as teenagers, we'd have the flyers, we'd be prepared and everything, and we would go into our neighborhood, we would blitz the neighborhood with the flyers and invite all of the junior age kids to come down to the park there at 4 o'clock, and we would have games and skits and some refreshments and a Bible message there for them. And all the teens would do this. The preparations, our youth pastor and other adult leaders helped us in getting prepared. We would do all the games, the skits. One of us guys would bring a devotional challenge there about the gospel. And we would do the visiting. All of these things would take place. And it happened on this one here that we had done everything. We were ready to go. And about 3:30 before we were going to start at 4, the dark clouds rolled in and the thunderstorms looked like it was just about to start. And we thought, we're not going to be able to have this. What are we going to do? All of this work that we have done and the kids, you know, starting to come a little bit, and here we are with this storm coming. And so we began to pray. All of us got on the bus there. Some of us stood around the outside there at the door. Our youth pastor, a bus driver, and other adults that were there, they each prayed out loud. The rest of us prayed silently. And just before 4 o'clock, the clouds split. The sun came out, and we were able to have it. Right when the clouds split and the sun came out, our youth pastor led us in this song there. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. I never have forgot that. The impact that that made upon my life. And God still does miracles today. The timing of things, you think, oh, it's just coincidence. Hey, folks, have we gotten so used to God answering prayer that it means nothing to us today? We ought to thank the Lord and see the miracle of prayer as well as the miracle of God working in so many, whether He restores sight or whatever it is that He does. God, we must admit, still does miracles today. He does some through His supernatural abilities and so forth there. And also He does some by using medicine as it seems wise to Him. But God still heals people today and works miracles, and we ought to see that. I believe in miracles because I believe in God. The second thing I want you to see, though, is there is a problem with miracles. A possible problem with miracles is deception. I've already mentioned to you about modern-day charlatans manipulating people, deceiving people. They're frauds, and we should not be deceived by them. We should not be drawn away to follow them, etc. there. But there's another deceiver that loves to counterfeit God's genuine truth and experience, and that's Satan himself. You know, the Bible prophesies that there's coming a day of a world ruler being one that is following or energized by Satan himself. It's called the Antichrist. He's also called the Beast there in Revelation. And he's called the Man of Sin and the Son of Perdition. He will be directed and empowered by Satan himself there. And this wicked imposter, the Antichrist, is going to have a sinister minister of propaganda called the False Prophet. That false prophet also is going to get his power from Satan to work miracles. Over here in Revelation chapter 13, if you want to flip there, in Revelation 13 it speaks of him and describes of him, this false prophet. And it says in verse 11 of Revelation 13, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." Now the first beast there was the Antichrist. This another beast here is the false prophet. "And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders." There's miracles there. "He does great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do." Let's stop right there and understand this false prophet is one that is going to have the power to do miracles. These miracles are not of God. These miracles come from the power of Satan. And these miracles are done for the purpose of deceiving people into thinking that it is of God. And people are going to turn to them and worship them and flock to them as if he is, or the Antichrist is, the actual Christ himself. And they are going to be worshipped and served, etc. And so we see here this worldwide deception is going to come riding on the wings of the miraculous, on miracles that are going to be done. That's why true faith must go beyond miracles and we must go on to the living and written Word of God. It is God's Word that gives us the truth. It is God's Word that identifies that which is truthful. And it's God's Word that will identify these frauds as well. We have here an illustration that I want you to think through with me. Suppose you wanted assurance of salvation, and you prayed to God that He would speak to you and give you some kind of sign. Then suppose that an angel appeared to you, a bright, shining, glorious angel, and would say to you, "My child, God has sent me with a message of comfort unto you. He is well pleased with you." And you may say there, "Well, please, mighty angel, can you give me more assurance?" And he says, "Yes, behold," and at that moment the heavens light up there with a blaze of fire. And you see that and you say, "Oh, that is great. I'll never doubt again." And then you stand before God in the final judgment and your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you begin to question and say, "But Lord, I saw an angel and he gave me assurance." Now, the timing of this is not doctrinally correct. If you sit in my class, we'll discuss that. Let's say you say that an angel appeared to me and gave me assurance. And then Satan would speak up and say, "You fool, that was me." Because the Scripture says that he changes himself into an angel of light. He appears that way. And then you protest further, "But I saw a great sign there of the fire of the heavens that blazed." And again, Satan says, "That was me, you idiot. Because I can call fire down from heaven," like we read there in Revelation 13, 11 through 14. You see the deception that takes place. Assurance of a person's salvation does not come from an angel or from the fire, or from the heavens lighting up or anything of that nature. It comes right here from what God's Word says. Amen. That if we believe Him and trust in Him, Jesus said that we are His and we shall never perish. Amen. That's the fact. You see, that's where our assurance stands. And we ought to know whom we have believed. And we ought to understand that He is able to keep that which we've committed unto Him against that day of judgment. We know what the Lord has done, and we know it because it's written right here in His Word. We have that truth that is given to us. Could we say and ask the question, is seeing really believing? When it comes to miracles, we have to be careful because they can be counterfeit. What one sees is not always what one gets. We need to understand that just because something appears to be a miracle does not mean that it is from God. We need to be careful. There should be a balance of what we see there. So let me restate this. I believe in miracles because I believe in God. I believe in miracles, but they never contradict God's Word. They never take the place of God's Word. If a miracle or if an angel or anyone else appears unto you and tries to tell you something different than what's right here in God's Word, God has already warned us it is not of him. It is of that wicked one that is trying to counterfeit and deceive. The power of God for salvation or anything else is not in miracles, but it is in His Word. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile there." It, the gospel of Jesus Christ that's found in His Word here, is the power of God unto salvation. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is quick, it's alive, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God's Word is where the power is. It's not in a miracle. It's not in any kind of angel, etc., that is there. It is in God's Word, but it's called God's written Word is all about God's living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when it comes to miracles, here are some guidelines, and I close with these three things. First of all, if you see a miracle, check the facts. Check the facts. Some Christians are so eager to talk about the miraculous that they are gullible to believe some things without even checking to see if it's true. Don't be fooled that way. Secondly, not only check the facts, but check the focus. As I said earlier, does the miracle glorify Jesus or does it glorify man? Does it glorify God or does it try to lift up people or some kind of movement? Check the focus. And then last, check the fruit. Check the fruit. Are people repenting of their sins and trusting Christ and becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's so many things that come to us today under this disguise of the miraculous. But as I said, too often it's all about a person or it's all about a movement. It's all about something of that nature. And it's not about people getting saved and people being taught and people surrendering their lives to follow and be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not what they're after. They're wanting you to follow them. They're wanting you to support them. Be careful. Check the fruit. Remember, crowds followed the Lord Jesus Christ there after He fed the 5,000, one of the early miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said about them in John 6 and verse 26, He said, "Ye seek Me, not because you saw the miracles." In other words, he's talking about not because you faith there, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You came because of the food. It's not because of what I'm trying to do, but it's what you were trying to get out of it physically for yourself. And there's a great difference there today that we need to recognize. That there are people out today that are looking for what kind of feeling or something that they can get out of an experience. But it's not genuine. It's not of God. Be careful. Don't be impressed or deceived by numbers. Sometimes the crowd is following the wrong piper. We need to be following the Lord Jesus Christ in His Word. It will never lead us astray. Don't be deceived. Every head bow, please. Where do you stand when we think about starting this particular study? We should believe in miracles, but we should trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The miracles of grace are greater than the miracles of glory. God has done many glorious miracles. But the miracle of love and grace that He wants to do right there in your heart today is more important than all of the others. And whether it be for salvation, whether it be for dedication of your life unto the Lord to follow Him as a disciple, that is what is at the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ for you. That's why He came to this earth and died on Calvary. He rose again that He may be the Lord of the living and the dead, Lord of all. Father, I pray that we have heard the message, that we would understand the truth, and that our concentration, both today and in the weeks ahead, may be on what You have for us in the miracles of Jesus that would lead us into a closer walk with our Savior. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.